I come to deliver the message that God has put on my heart. Oops, boy, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. And again, this is Kingdom Keys Bible Fellowship in Dublin, California. Praise God, and we're thankful for all you being here, and for those that may hear the message later on the by looking at it on looking up on our website. We pray this message will be a blessing to you. My name is Reverend Clifford Young, and I have the privilege to speak today. And our pastor is Reverend T.A. West, who's not here, who's gone away and able to get one of those wonderful times of refreshing with his family and stuff. And we wish him well. We pray that their journey will be safe and prosperous. And we look forward to seeing him next Tuesday back here leading Bible study, and also next Sunday when he'll be here proclaiming the word of God. Let's have a word of prayer. This morning, O Lord God, we thank for the opportunity, Lord God, for free of us, Lord God, to meet here, Lord God, to have worshiped you, Lord God. And now, Lord God, at this moment, Lord God, we, Lord God, want to hear from you. We want to hear the sweet message, Lord God, that would encourage us to continue on, Lord God, in this life endeavor, Lord God. They will help us to understand what it is, Lord God, you've called and are calling for us to do, Lord God. Lord God, you saved us and we praise and thank you for it. But Lord God, we need to know, Lord God, you saved us not just for simply saving us, but saved us, Lord God, to be used. Lord God, help us to understand that purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this morning, my subject or the title of my message is No Cross, No Crown. And this is the first Sunday when generally, and every Sunday we generally have a cross up there on the wall up there. And I was going to refer to that, but there's no cross up there this morning. But let's see what the Word of God says about the cross. Then Jesus, Matthew 24-26, read as thus. Then Jesus said to his disciple, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said in this passage that we are to take up a cross. He said, if you want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Take up your cross. So what is it that cross that we're supposed to be taking up? How do we get in a sense of what Jesus is asking of us? Not just merely asking, but putting a command. He said, if you want to follow him. He said, if we want to follow, and as believers, that's what we said we wanted to do. We were becoming Christians. We were becoming disciples. We were going to follow him. So my question this morning is, what is Jesus talking about when he's talking about the cross? What do we envision when we hear the word cross? If someone were to come up and ask you, and get, I see the cross all around. I see it in a lot of different places. What is this cross you Christians are always talking about? your answer? Do you have an answer about what we mean when we say or look at the cross or they sit in on a pulpit or in the churches on the steeple, people wearing all stuff? What is this cross? And I have trouble myself because even though I'm a Christian today, I've been a Christian a long time, I see the cross and I always ask myself, I think I understand what the cross means, but do those people who see it out there in the world, do they understand? Especially a lot of people wear it now, that, right? The word the cross has become a very fashionable statement, right? Don't people like to wear the cross to accessorize themselves? They even have crosses, earrings, and cross on rings, and cross the necklaces. You've seen some of them rappers and people. You wonder, how can you love talk about wearing a cross when you're talking all that filth and doing all that stuff, and yet they don't have a problem with doing that. But I have a problem with it, because to me, the cross is something that is very special because it's where Jesus died. It's where he hung, he shed his blood, and it's a sign of my redemption. It's where I was redeemed. I was claimed. The price for my salvation was on that cross. And yet, I see people wearing it, and it has no significance. And you know what? How do we go about having a discussion with them about that cross? Do we engage in any kind of conversation when we see these people wearing crosses? And I wondered, do you understand what that cross is really all about? And oftentimes I know they probably don't because, you know, it just looks pretty, right? They make it look so pretty. Y'all see some of the crosses you have now? They very, very pretty necklaces. I see some of them rappers, they have really big, I mean, they make them big. I mean, they almost look like they choke them, you know. I mean, gold and all them diamonds and stuff. If we're just looking at it from a material standpoint, that cross looks awesome. It because it appears to what we like most, our flesh. Our sense of monetary, it represents a monetary status, or it looks good because it just accessorized, and the world loves crosses now. It's become a very fashionable statement, so one cross. No big deal. In fact, the more beautiful and the more glamorous, the more ostentatious the cross is, people wear, the better people like it, isn't it? Woo! But see, I'm just the opposite. I don't like the cross, people wearing the cross. In fact, I don't wear it at all. And that's the reason I don't wear it, because we're going to get to it in a minute. But I say the cross is not that something I wear, but something I should be able to demonstrate. I don't need a cross for somebody to let them know I'm a Christian. I got so out of what Jesus said, denying myself. Now, it's about having a perspective about what that cross represents. That's important. And again, that's what, and see, a lot of people wear that cross again to show others what they believe or what we believe. Again, do you need a cross to say I'm a Christian? No. If you need a cross to say I'm a Christian, it's something wrong. It's something wrong that you need a cross to show that you believe you're Christian. Again, this a lot of people have them. I know that's a Catholic problem because it's the rosary, but a lot of people have crosses to go around saying, "Now I'm wearing this cross because I'm a believer."
I'm a believer, so you know how I know. Because you are to be sold a sign of the cross and all. That's something that has become so customary and has been so incorporated into the church that we think that's something that's in the Bible. Now, I don't know about y'all. I want y'all to go and research it and show me where that's been part of the teaching of the Bible. I'm just saying, to me, anything that you want to look at and do, it has to be something taught or put in the Word of God. If it ain't in the Word of God, it's wrong. Because God said, don't add to or take away. And see, we added a lot of stuff into the Bible and into our religious services and that's not even in the Bible. And this is one of them. In fact, God told us not to do it. I'm going to get to that later. See, some people look at that cross and order that if I pray to the cross, somehow look at that cross and grab a hold of it and everything, I'm ready to get to God. I disagree. The cross to me is not going to get you to God. What gets you to God is having that relationship with Him. And God ain't said go through the cross. God said go through His Son. See, so that cross is not a means to get to God. Jesus and what He did on the cross is the way to get to God. So that cross, it just again to me that's emblem by which they crucified Him. It's just the method by which He died to save me and every one of them. It was a method that day that was used to kill people. In fact, it was one of the most harmful, it was the worst way you could be put to death.
Right.
You could have been beheaded. Could have been, even could have been stoned. But somehow, that cross at that time was the worst way you could die.
Yes, sir.
And that's what it means to me when I look at that cross. I see that as God said, I choose to allow my Son to die on me. And I'm allowing Him. To go through the worst way possible to die. See, and again, these people, our people kiss it. They do all these things somehow thinking that cross has something significant. But it's because they've been taught, or it's because what they've been seeing others do that they think that cross has some power. And again, it's gotten to the point that, I ain't gonna call no dispersion, but there's certain faith or religious belief they have taught that to worship the image, the cross. No, it's so prominently displayed, and even again, part of our churches today, we'll go along and we display that image of the cross. And somehow, the people coming in see it. And if there's no explanation given to them, they go along with it. It's the motherfuckers doing it, so that must be what that means. So when they say that cross, when you got a new person coming into the church or an unbeliever, when they see that cross, what is the message they get? Do we take the time to explain to them what that cross on that we put up there?
Right.
See, we got to get real because, they may think we're worshiping that cross too. It's love like this. Oh, look at how nice, all right. I mean, there's Christ on the cross, and the minister, the preacher, I think some kind of Orthodox, I don't think it's Catholic church. But again, see, very prominent, Christ on the cross. And see, that's got us in trouble. Because now they took Christ and said, now he wants you to put a just a cross, let's put a man on that cross. Because Jesus was the man he died. And now we got the problem of what color, what image, what did he look like on that cross? What kind of sense does that make? That cross and Jesus, what he looked like, if not the important thing. What he did.
All right.
He was a Jew. He came out of the Jewish culture. He was a Jewish person. You know, but he said, you know what? I'm coming to get rid of that old covenant and start the new covenant. And again, it ain't about what he looked like. It ain't about what who he was and what and all that. It's about what he did. Woo, Lord have mercy.
He's not on that cross no more.
Woo, look at that. Look at that. Again, we get hung up on showing Jesus on the cross.
He's not on that cross no more. He's with God.
Yeah. It's almost like we made that into what Jesus said. God told children, don't get caught up in making images. And worshiping graven images. See, I'm sorry, but this is something man made. This to me is a great. This is something we have carved and made and decided to use our own imagination, even though it's supposed to be a good thing. But God said, don't get caught up in that. Because you're now focusing on this and not upon the Spirit. See, if you worship God and anything but through the Spirit, we are off base. Yeah. So again, don't get caught up. Don't get caught up on this cross and having some man on a cross and thinking that's the be all in all, because that ain't nothing but a graven image. Mm-hmm. Again, one of the things I do know that, and it's been portrayed, I know all y'all. I don't mean y'all seen the Exodus or you heard exorcism. It's exorcism. It's something that the Catholic Church has been promoting. I don't know if, but again, exorcism is defined as exorcism in Christianity is the practice of casting out demons from a person that are believed to be possessed. With anointing oil, the word of God, which is sword of the Spirit, holy water, the sacred symbols of the cross, the blood of Christ, and consecrated individual. You know, this, you know, has become, you know, I believe in demons. And I believe people being demon possessed.
It's real.
Woo! I've been close to some, and that for a while, so I said, there ain't no demon. Then God let me go back to read, Jesus dealt with demons. So, Jesus dealt with demons. They real.
You cast them out.
But the question now comes under Jesus and just calling on the name of Jesus. Amen. To me, all I need is the name of Jesus. Believing in the name of Jesus, that demon's got to go. Because he said, if we resist the devil,
he will flee. Call on the name of Jesus.
Yeah. And so I don't need, again, the cross and all that other stuff ain't what it gets. It's the power of the blood. It's Jesus that makes it real. The image, the cross, and everything else we do is not happening. I mean, for me. I'm just speaking for me. I'm trying to teach y'all what I think I know and have learned. Again, one of the things is again, about wearing the cross. Now, I talked about doing it as accessories, but now, lo and behold, we have went to a whole nother level.
All up on our arms and our necks.
Ooh, Lord have mercy.
Chest and our backs.
Mm-mm. And see, if they go back and read the Bible, again, in the Old Testament, God said, don't mark your Bible, don't mark your body. That's what the heathen do. But see, we ain't got to think, we mark because we put your cross on. You don't need that, as far as I'm concerned. I see that. But I don't know if you believe it or not.
You're
fruit. You know, you put that up there. Yeah. I'm interested in looking at your life. I'm sorry. I ain't interested in looking at the artwork on your body. I'm interested in examining your life. Jesus said, by your fruit, you should. I don't know you by that tattoo. And see, and people got, see again, it's like wearing a jewelry. It become very fashionable to have tattoos. And if you want to have a tattoo, you're going to have a tattoo all across. That's very popular. Let's do some tattoos. I'll make you money. I'll take that money for putting a tattoo. And look at that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, again. See, okay, now this is really, when I looked at them, I said, woo. Y'all look at that. This is what somebody saying. He said his eyes opening, in the middle of that is the cross. Again, and no rhyme or reason, just saying, I'm going to do something. I want to be different. But in the middle of that, very little, it's cross. It's Jesus on the cross. I'm sorry, but we again, this is enough where I don't know what that image is above the three crosses, but there's some kind of image of some man or something. What is that? Wow. What am I supposed to take away from? Is that supposed to be a representation of God or what?
What is that?
So we do that. We do that. We again, to me, we gotta refocus on what Jesus said about the cross. Not what we've done with the cross. Of what we think we should be doing with about the cross. He said, Jesus said to his disciples. Now he's saying this to his disciples, knowing it's not just the end and everybody, but he's saying this to his disciples. If anyone desires, he said, you got to have a desire to come after him. God, this is his disciples. These are the people saying, I'm standing up, I want to be a follower of Jesus. And first of all, the cross is important to those who want to be followers of Jesus. It's not just, the cross ain't just for everybody. It's for those who want to be a follower of Jesus. He said, if you want to desire to be a follower of me, you say, if you desire to come after me, Jesus said, you know what? There's a stipulation here that you want to follow him. Because, you know, everybody, a lot of people want to follow Jesus, right? But a lot of us want to follow Jesus our way, don't we? Let's be honest. We want to be followers, we want to be believers. But it's got to be our way. And Jesus set everybody straight. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, you say, if you want to come after me, I want everybody to come after me. But he said, first of all, what he said, you got to deny yourself.
That's right.
You have got to deny yourself.
Come on, man.
You got to give up self.
Right.
You know, and I'm telling you, I know. Giving up self is the hardest thing for us to do.
Yeah, it could be something.
It is the hardest thing we do. Because even Jesus, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to give him something. But even Jesus had trouble with that one. Giving up of self. He's saying, you got to deny yourself. Think about that. We're very selfish. We are selfish people. Now Jesus said, God even said in the Ten Commandments, if you love me, you got to love me with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. You got to give up yourself. That is the first thing that Jesus said. You got to deny yourself. You got to give up all thought about self. And we're going to find out why he said you got to deny yourself. Because, and then he said, after you've done all that, he said, then you're ready to take up the cross. Because until you deny yourself, you ain't ready to take up that cross. Because you're going to find that there's a price we pay by taking up the cross. And then he said, only then are you ready to follow me. Oh, I'm doing the wrong one. Sorry about that. So, because Jesus said, the thing about following him, he says, we love our lives too much, don't we? How many of y'all would be willing to just give up your life right now? Just give it up. You know, that means suicide ain't a good option for most of us. We ain't giving up our life. We're gonna fight through it. Well, some of them are able to give up. God, he said, you desire to save his life. Because most of us, that's our biggest. We're too busy trying to save it. And remember about Job? The devil said, you know, of course, Job is still ready to save you because you haven't taken everything away from him. And the devil, God says, take away everything you have, even his everything he got but his soul, his life. So, you know, and everybody comes saying, Job, you're in such a terrible situation. Why don't you take your own life? And James, God said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Of course, you hold on to your life when it comes to God, going to cause you to lose it. Look at that. Holding on to this body in this life gonna cause you to lose your salvation.
Yep.
Okay.
You good?
Okay. And whoever loses life, but whoever loses life for my sake will find. Jesus said, part of what I'm asking you to do is give up this to gain this. He said, it's an exchange. You giving up your life. He said, losing your life for my sake allows you to find it. That you say there's something good about losing your life because only then can you really find your life. How many of y'all believe that's true? How many of y'all have felt that to be true? I don't know about y'all, but I felt that to be true. It wasn't until I let go of me.
Lose it.
When I finally decided to stop fighting,
come on, man.
I finally decided to turn over my life to God.
Come on, man.
That my life started having meaning. That my life really had something of value in it. Because I don't know about y'all, up in that time, I thought my life had no value. Before Jesus, I didn't think my life had, I didn't love myself. I can't. But Jesus makes me realize my life has value. So I find life. And then he says, he tells us a little bit more about what life is about. But then he says, you got to deny yourself. First thing about relationship, you got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him.
That's right.
Those are three things Christ said and about when we looked at the cross.
Amen.
Because, you know, when Jesus said follow him, that was just during the Lord's Supper, communion. We just celebrate that. And he said, you got to follow me.
Yes.
And the first thing they find out they got to follow him is to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I don't know about y'all if y'all know about the Garden of Gethsemane, but that's where Jesus has to demonstrate what it means to deny yourself and take up the cross. That's what Jesus demonstrates that in the real world, because the thing about Gethsemane, Jesus said he realized he got to give up his life on that cross. And what is he doing at that good Sergeant Gethsemane? He's praying three times to the Father. It'd be another way if this cup can pass from me. If I don't have to go to the cross, who? Let it pass from me. If there's another way. Because Jesus wants to demonstrate that, yeah, going to the cross, denying yourself. Because let's remember, Jesus in coming here in the form of a human was denying himself. Because what was he? He was God. He was God the Son, because there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. He denying him his Godhead. He denying his position. He denying the power he has as part of the triune God. Part of the Son. He said, I gotta humble myself to the Father. I gotta submit and surrender who I am to God and his will.
Thank you for that.
Oh, Lord have mercy. So he's making a example. He's showing us by example what it means in ourselves. And so when he already said you got to deny yourself, he already knows what he's got to do himself. He's got to deny himself. He's got to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he knowing that, he's got to, after going through the Garden of Gethsemane, he's got to go through the betrayal of Judas. Those all 11 disciples, even Peter said, Lord, we with you. We got you. We going all the way. When it came down to it, they lit out. Peter denied him. Others abandoned him. I mean, it's just him. All by himself. So when we talk about denying, that's really what you got to do. You got to learn that you're going to be out there all by yourself. Yeah. And you got to go through the trials and mockings. And so when we talk about our trials and the mockings we experience on this side of life, there's nothing. This is all he did. He showed us beforehand, this was just going to be part of what it meant to deny ourselves.
Yeah.
And God go through the abuse, the suffering, rejection, the crucifixion, and ultimately the separation from the Father. Do you realize Jesus, when he went to hell, was disconnected from the Father? Why? Because of all that sin he was carrying on. That sin, God cannot deal with sin. So the moment he went to God, a guy on that cross, and all that sin poured on him. That's when you see Jesus had pride call out the Father. Woo! And he died. And they says he spent 3 days down there in hell.
Come on, preach it, man.
Separated from the Father. So, you know what? He said, if you're not ready to deny yourself and follow him, you don't get to be connected to the Father. That's what the greatest thing is about. This is, we now are connected to God our Father. That cross is the bridgeway. It's a connection point. See, that's what we got to look at. The cross is our connection point. The cross is what gets us in over to be able to commune with God. That's what the cross is. That's what our cross is. It's God's way of reestablishing our relationship with him.
Yes.
Jesus separated himself from the Father that we could be reconnected. Lord, have mercy.
Lord,
like I say, we got to remember that Jesus said denying yourself. He denied himself as the Son of God. Will we? Ooh, the question then becomes, will we deny ourselves? Will we take up our cross? Will we follow Jesus?
Yes, sir.
That's what it means, no cross. See, you can't get that crown without going and having the cross. See, a lot of us think we're going to get, just showing up in heaven, we're going to get a crown. But ain't no crown without
And then after going to the cross, he was resurrected, and now he's reacquainted with the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father.
Right there.
What makes us think we going to be able to do? What makes us think we going to get there without that? So we got to get that cross straight. That cross is not something I wear. That cross is what I do. I nail myself. I deny myself. And I have to realize I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to die. I'm going to have to pour out all of me.
Come on, man.
Just to get close to the Father. So, you know what? No cross. No crown. No crown. No cross. No crown. And I want each and every one of you, I'd say, to examine your own life and understand that that's what you got to be worried about. You got to be worried about going to the Father.
Mm.